is up, sexy people? It is Dave. It is Duncan back from Metal Epidemic for another album review. And for this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new release from French atmospheric post-sludge band Subterrane. The band's new album, In the Aftermath of Blight, will be released on April 12th via Frozen Records. So, formed in 2017, Subterrane released its first album, Rotten Human Kingdom, via Transcending Obscurity Records in 2020. Massively heavy, the album depicts the state of the world through themes such as animal rights, the destruction of natural resources, and human greed.
How very Gojira of them. Now, they're more attuned with that. Like, I would much rather have bands singing about that shit than my last breakup. I'm like, oh great, here we go.
Awesome. After being joined by KKP from Huata and ex Hangman's Chair on guitar.
Ooh.
MLV from Remote and Forge on drums, and BMR from Fange and Huata on bass, Subterrane moved towards more complex and melodic arrangements while retaining its initial energy and furthering its exploration of the human condition.
Are the band shortening those names, or are you shortening those names?
No, that's what's on the press release. They do have real names.
100. I'm fine with that. I just thought Dave's half assing this and not trying to even pronounce French names. He's like BBK, NFR. You know what I mean,
KFC. In the Aftermath of Blight sees the band reinvent itself and assert its identity with more daring and layered compositions, showcased by superior musicianship and sound production. Written to be radically different from its predecessor, In the Aftermath of Blight proves to be more complex and skillfully written. The album benefits from a much higher production value and combines the aggression and atmospheres of post-sludge with the melodies of doom metal. The album was recorded and mixed by Cyril Gachet at Le Briche, drums recorded by KKP at Le Labo, and mastered by Justin Weiss at Trackworks. So, album number two from French.
Had you heard the previous one?
I have.
Right, but had you before?
Oh, no, not until, until this came out. Yeah. But I have now, yeah.
So she said they were French, and I was like, oh.
Actually, I don't know how I missed it when it first came out, because it's on Transcend Obscurity, and that's a label I really like. They do a lot of really cool stuff, so I'm a little bit confused as to how I missed it the first time around in 2020, but anyway, I have now listened to it. Yeah, I was curious. I was curious as to how this was going to sound, considering they were going to be going down a slightly different path with this one. The last album is extremely heavy. Like, the last album is definitely more in the sludge, drone, doom kind of realm. Not a million miles away from a band like Conan or like Bong Ripper.
Holy fuck, right. So something has changed.
Yes. There's a little bit of like sun in there as well, and the kind of dronier kind of elements as well. But
yeah.
Very monolithic. It was still quite varied in tempo. Like they did switch things up, but very abrasive for the most part. Nothing that sounded massively different from a lot of other sludge doom bands, to be honest, but sonically very, very powerful. This album, like the last release, is again only four tracks.
Is it an album?
Yes.
Right. I can't remember what the quantifier is between an EP and an album, whether it's length or tracks.
It used to be less than five tracks with an EP, more than 25 minutes with an album.
Yes. But
this is both. Yeah. Less than five tracks, but more than 25.
Is this the album version of Glass Half Empty, Glass Half Empty?
Yeah.
Just depending on your disposition. If they're calling it an album, we're calling it an album.
Yeah. It's four tracks, but fairly long songs, with the longest track being about 10 minutes long. The last album was 48 minutes long.
Right.
It was four tracks as well. It had like an 18-minute track on it. So this one, although...
almost one track is almost half the length of the release.
This one, I think, clocks in about 37 minutes-ish.
Yes, it does. Yeah, yeah. It's under 40.
Over the four tracks. So, let's get started. I'll start off with the good stuff. I'll start off with what I liked about this new album from...
Oh, tell me about what you liked, Dave.
I'll tell you what I liked. So that on that last release, there was like a couple of really short moments where they dabbled in a little bit of melody.
You know, a wee clean moment.
Oh, right. A
peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
We could be doing more of that. Oh, did you see it? You didn't see, did you?
Yeah.
More of it. There you go.
That was it. And then it was back to back to that. So, and that was fine. They didn't really commit to that at all. It was just like, oh, here's a wee bit, but that's all you're getting. It was all about the heaviness on that last album. In the aftermath of Blight, however, they have...
curtains are wide open.
Yes. Yes. They have completely switched things up. I think switched up for the better. I thought this was a much more interesting album to listen to. And right from the off, it's very different from Rotten Human Kingdom. As I said, they're still taking their time. Like the opening track is just under 10 minutes. So there's plenty of building, you know, layers towards a bigger, heavier moment. But straight away, it's much more atmospheric. Mm. It sounds pretty much like a different band, to be honest. Like if you let me hear that previous album and then let me hear this album, I don't think I would have guessed it was the same band.
All right.
But this has like a huge streak of ambience to it. It's layered with kind of echoing guitars and, you know, soaring kind of lead work. The production is very, very roomy, very spacious. It's like a 180 in comparison, coming from that really dense doom heavy sound on the last album. The track, as I said, does start to build towards something heavier, and it does get heavy. Like there is a moment where it hits and you're like, all right, oh, here we go. But it's a different type of heavy from before. I'd say this is more in line with like bands like Rosetta or Amenra or even I've mentioned them already tonight, there's a wee touch of Willhaven in there as well, to an extent. And those bands all have a kind of huge dose of atmosphere running through their sound. And in a weird way, it almost when those parts kick in, it almost makes it heavier than before. Because
I think atmosphere makes tracks heavier.
It does.
I think lazy bands just detune their guitars. I think smart bands, like we talked about this innumerable times, Gojira is one of the heaviest bands on the planet. Mm-hmm. They do not play fucking 8-string guitars and tune like Meshuggah. There's a reason they're heavy. It's because they know how to hit you with impact in what they play.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it heavy as fuck. Bands that can do that without like taking the lazy approach are bands that are smart. And atmosphere is a huge part of that.
Sure. Absolutely. The contrast they use on this album, the dynamics they're using, going from something really clean and ambient to this huge kind of post-metal wall of sound. Like it sounds massive when they do that. Mm. The second track, Poison Waters, actually, for me, there was a bit of a Hangman's Chair kind of esque vibe on that track, especially in the guitar work, which has a bit of that kind of like chorus type effect that Hangman's Chair often use. Again, sounds huge. This time, they've also thrown some clean vocals into the mix as well, which we never got on the opening track. And that opens up the sound even more, adding in a kind of additional element or another texture. I do also think the shorter tracks have a lot to do with this album working better as well. And I know they're not short tracks as such. They're still like fairly lengthy, but in comparison to the previous album.
9.5 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes, Dave.
So still sound like long tracks, but
these crisp.
You're coming off at 18-minute tracks on the previous album. I felt like when I listened to that previous album, that 18-minute track, it felt its length. Like,
yeah.
But here, the way they kind of build these tracks up, and knowing that they are pushing a more expansive sound on this one, I found it much more interesting to listen to. Hmm. On the flip side, like, tracks that are 10 minutes long don't generally stick with you as quickly as like a 3.5-minute track would, especially in this style. So there is an
industry built on the fact that people have a very short attention span, and as such, for commercially friendly tunes and ditties, they tend to be between 3 and 4 minutes in length.
Absolutely. So I think like an album like this with 4 10-minute tracks as such does take a little bit longer to digest. Like, I gave this album 5 listens in total. And I'd say it wasn't till maybe the third or the fourth listen of this album that parts of it started to become more kind of familiar and more memorable for me. But at the same time, it's not an album that's written with big hooks in mind. It's more of an immersive kind of type listen. I think that immersive side, I think that immersive part is the key to this album as well. It's an album that, for me, I think I need to be in a certain mood, a certain frame of mind to listen to. It's got a really good flow to it. The tempo is fairly steady throughout. It doesn't really change all that much from that kind of like sludgy post-metal rhythm and pace. Actually, as a full piece, it works really well. The tracks all do feel quite connected. And it makes sense as a full piece rather than like individual tracks as well. 100%. So I enjoyed the way this album started. However, my main issue that I had with the album was by the time I hit track 3, which is called 1027, I felt like I had a pretty good idea of what the band had to offer. They do stick to a particular kind of formula for the majority of the album. And they do adjust the amount of light and darkness on each track. But there's no real surprises or major detours on this as the album goes on. It's not anything I haven't heard done before. There was quite a lot of other bands I was kind of thinking of as I was listening to it, referencing things, oh, that sounds a little bit like that and like this. I found myself kind of waiting or wanting for something a little bit left field at times. It's enjoyable, but I don't know, I felt like maybe it was a little bit on the safe side at times. And it may be because they're trying something new on this one, and they didn't want to kind of move too far away from like their core styles, to make that transition a bit smoother. But I felt like there's an element missing, I think, for me from this sound that will kind of take this band to the next level. I like the path they're on. I do think they should stick with this sound that they went for. I feel like maybe just need to develop it a little bit more for me. But interested to hear where they go next, because this is obviously a bit of a jump from the previous album style. So we'll see what happens. What about yourself? What did you think?
So I might come in a little bit higher than you on this one, I think.
Right.
So I hadn't heard the previous album. Once again, stress this. Can we get a disclaimer? Like, just to add work to you that says Duncan doesn't read the press. I go in blind all the listens. So unless I have heard your band before, or Dave says, remember they toured with so-and-so, and I'm like, so they fucking did. Unless that conversation comes up, I go in not knowing the status, how many albums. To a certain point where you're like, this feels like a well-worn shoe, comfortable. So this is a band that maybe done more than one album. I don't know if I got that from this. It sounds like even if I did get that from this, the previous album wouldn't have sounded fuck all like this. So chances are I wouldn't go anyway. There are things that you mentioned that I totally agree with. Like, I think in terms of song length, I actually think this works really, really well for them, having not heard anything longer than that. I never at any point necessarily felt bored with what they're doing. There was a clear definition of what the movements of the tracks were. They just took their time to get to them, and I was kind of cool with that. They built up in a satisfying way. They layered instrumentations in a really cool way. The bone of contention I have with what you said, and I don't know if necessarily you're saying it this way or if I'm hearing it that way or how it's going to be when people hear it, is I found this album got a lot more interesting the longer it went on. I got to the end of the first song and I was like, cool. I wasn't won over by it. I liked the movements of it. I liked the length of it. But what I didn't have was the clean elements that come in on Poisoned Waters, specifically on the vocals, which I think completely opens our sound up. So track two was the one that hooked me in to begin with, and I was like, right, I'm digging this. This feels like it's starting to form an idea of kind of like darkened melody and, you know, like proper atmosphere. There's a kind of almost weird kind of pagany folksy sort of vibe that goes through it, which I really enjoyed as well. 1027 kicks in, and that one is just a big old, like, I feel like I should be listening in fucking Dracula's Castle. It's a big old gothy fucking hand job, a gothy hand job. I don't know what that feels like, but I'm just going to say a lot of black used. A lot of black for no reason. And like, there's just like, it has a very dramatic feel about it. And I think a lot of that is in a lot of the lead guitar work, which has this huge kind of reverby, massive sim to it that just drives the track around. It's so much more prominent than the kind of chunky guitar riff in the background, just huge lead section in front with these kind of blackened vocals sitting behind it. But I loved it. Like, once again, it leaned, it's weirdly it gets more melodic as it goes on. So the first track doesn't really give you that. It gives you it on the guitars. Poison Water starts to give you melody on the vocals, and maybe a little bit more of the cleans. 1027 gives you a lot more guitar driven melody. Like, a lot more of an idea of kind of, we use light and shade as terms here, but a lot more light on that. And then the closing track, which is the longest one, which is also the title track in the aftermath of Blight, to me is the standout moment on the album. It's the one where I think they get the elements of melody on the vocals, savagery on the vocals, guitar work really interesting. It has huge movements and sections that feel like defined and realized, and there's a massive section in that, maybe almost close to like 3 minutes, where the lead guitar work, like the actual guitar solo, is kind of having its way, and it's not virtuoso guitar solo work here, but it's clearly stating out this is the melodic hook that you need to pay attention to and watch while we play it, and then invert it, and then bring it back in other elements as the track goes on. So that was, to me, when I got to the end of that song, I was like, had I had an album of track fours, I would have been like, fucking, like, this is this year's Mountaineer, this is this year's Chrome Ghost, this is my, I found my diamond in the rough. But as an album, I, in, like, weirdly have an inverted view of it than you do. To me, like, the opening track, whilst it is punishing and crushing, and it definitely delivers a style and a sim to the band, it's the most unremarkable track here. It's everything that comes after it. So in a world where track one doesn't exist, I don't actually think this hurts the album at all. If the opening track was track two and the closing track was track four, I think you get, probably not an album, it's probably an EP at that point, but I would work fine with it. And it's not to say that I dislike the opening track. I feel it's the one that is the least remarkable about what they do on the album as a whole. I love the production. I think it's really, really, it has depth. Like, the opening of the closing track, which opens almost like it's like some sort of weird dystopian fucking movie soundtrack with like weird, like almost synthy breathing sounds in the background. I could feel myself falling into that track. It had that much depth. So production really, really works with it. There's a lot of reverb on a lot of stuff here. But it's kind of cool. It fits our sound. So yeah, I don't know if at the end of the listen I was like, but this is, you know, this has completely won me over. This is like one of those finds that I'm going to be clinging to like closely at the end of the year. That being said, I think there's a ton of interest on this one, and a lot of it comes from the moments where they really embrace the melody in what they do, whether that's vocally in the atmosphere or in the guitar work. I think that's those are the moments for me, very much like a Hangman's Chair, where I hear those bits and I'm like, that's like that's the bit, and you need to just do that from now on. So yeah, they're an interesting little oddity. Curious. Oh, like, so at this point we're saying what, two albums in the space of 6 years?
Yeah, last one was 2020, I think.
All right, 2020. So like 4 years in between albums. We may have to wait a little while for the next one. But I'm cute, like, from what you're saying, it sounds like sea change to this point. They get out, they do a bit of touring, they refine that sound, a more confident third release. We could be looking at something quite remarkable here. I like, post-sludge is not a term I'm overly familiar with. To me, post-sludge is sludge with atmosphere, right? But it's a genre that I apparently like quite a bit when it's done right, and they do a lot of it right. So, yeah.
Nice.
Let's see, Dave, where our scores are going to come down. Okay. How far away are we?
Okay. I enjoyed it. I didn't dislike the album at all. I just found, after that kind of third track, I'd heard them do all the things they were going to do, and then by that point I was kind of like, okay. I mean, the last track was cool. I liked the lead work and stuff in the last track, but it didn't really like, oh yes, this is what I was missing. This is what I needed for this album.
Here's my new trick. Yeah, I'm Kung Fu, Dave.
And there was also the issue where I could hear a lot of other bands in there.
Where their influences so much on their sleeve that you could read them, like you can read Blood Command on my tongue.
I suppose I'm maybe looking for, I love the direction I've taken, but I'm looking for more of them, more of their personality to come through on the next release, hopefully. But I'm interested to hear where it goes. On this one, I'll probably go 3.5 on this one. What about yourself? What are you thinking?
Turns out we're actually spot on. I thought you were going to come in with a 3. Yeah, I give it a 3.5. I think the back half of the album is super fucking strong. I think the opening of the album is a bit safe for me. And as a result of that, like, on the re-listens, I listened to this 3 times. The third listen, I was maybe getting to that point where you were like, I was like, all right, this is the bit where it changes and becomes this. Where those first two listens, I was like lost. Like, I was lost like a guy in a maze who, like, can't remember how he got there or why he's there. Like, I woke up in a maze. That's a better description. And I will say this about them. I think their strength, not only with the melody, is their chord progressions. I love the chord progressions. Like, especially under the lead work.
Yeah.
Like, they hit you with these huge chords that are just, like, as such a smart use of songwriting. I want to see them explore more of that. I think the tracks can they clearly enjoy long form songs, so they can keep doing that. I would say never 18 minutes. Like, that to me seems like a bad idea. At the 10 minute track, that's the perfect length for me for something that has the movements that In the Aftermath of Blight has. But yeah, I think there's scope here for a lot more of atmosphere, a lot more of melody, without sacrificing one iota of the heaviness, which is clearly there. They've got that in spades. So yeah, 3.5 from me as well.
Nice. So, In the Aftermath of Blight, out on April 12th on Frozen Records. Links below the band and the pre-order. Check it out, have a listen, see what you think. That is the review. Thank you for checking out. We'll be back with another review very soon. But until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone.